1045 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Police in Las Vegas are warning educators nationwide that the suspect accused in yesterday's deadly shooting at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, sent envelopes with white powder to colleges across the country.
The first letter that we opened had an unknown white powder substance in it.
Sheriff Kevin McMahon with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. An Albany, New York man is under arrest, accused of shooting at a synagogue and making threatening statements.
And I remind everyone, as New Yorkers, this is not who we are. This must stop.
Governor Kathy Hochul. President Biden and Jordan's King Abdullah are among the leaders who are hoping to convince Israel and Hamas to agree to a new ceasefire. The son of North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer has been charged with manslaughter. 42-year-old Ian Cramer is accused of leaving the scene of an accident which left a North Dakota sheriff's deputy dead. This is ABC News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Trump electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced yesterday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says they got all they wanted from the 10 Republicans.
We wanted transparency so that the people of Wisconsin would be able to understand exactly what had unfolded with this scheme here in Wisconsin. And we wanted accountability to make sure it could never happen again.
Mandel was on the Devil's Advocate show on Civic Media. Republican banking mogul Eric Hovde will challenge U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. That's what National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair Steve Daines tells the Journal Sentinel. Hovde himself declined a chance to comment last night. Hovde is widely considered the most viable of the Republicans in the race. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Nurses at Essentia's First Street Clinic are moving forward with a vote to unionize. According to a Northern News Now report, the nurses hope to be represented by the Minnesota Nurses Association so they get a fair voice at the table on issues of pay equity, representation, and decision-making with patient care. The nurses say the hospital's priorities are being driven by business with expansions and mergers. Essentia Health responded saying they don't believe unionizing is in the best interests of their patients and colleagues. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed a bill to make Wisconsin the 24th state in the country to guarantee a standalone personal finance course for high school students. Students graduating high school in the 27-28 school year will be required to take at least one semester course of personal finance, teaching them about money management, saving and investing, and education and employment. The course is viewed as a crucial step in breaking a cycle of generational poverty through financial education. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers getting ready for Monday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers return to practice after an extra day of rest. They're going to face the Giants on Monday Night Football. We hope to hear more on how wide receiver Christian Watson is doing after leaving the Chiefs game Sunday night with a hamstring injury. The Bucks are in Vegas for the semifinals of the NBA's in-season tournament. Milwaukee against the high-scoring Pacers. College hoops. The Badgers on the road Saturday to take on the new number one, Arizona. Wisconsin coming off wins against Marquette and Michigan State. Are their bench players improving? Great guard.
I think that's something this team is developing as we go through the early part of this season. The depth has something to do with that I can run lines in, and they're able to keep our upperclassmen a little fresher. Younger guys, whether it's been, Gilmore and Winter come in as the first line there, but we're able to continue to attack because we're fresh.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 33.
Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 47 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Lows level off around 28 tomorrow night. Overcast. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 37.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. UK.
Bet you've been a fan of me. See me in your fantasies. Everything I got working for me. So eat that, peep that. I'm the one to beat, yeah.
Hello, everybody. It is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Anya Esther in the production booth. We're going to drop a little Hanukkah knowledge on you this hour since it all kicks off tomorrow at sunset. But before we get there, something pretty remarkable occurred today, and that is that in Texas, where their abortion laws are about as restrictive as you can imagine, a state district court judge today ordered and concluded that a woman could have an abortion. This was Judge Maya Guerrera Gamble of Travis County District Court. The woman's name is Katie Cox. She's currently 20 weeks pregnant. And to do this, basically, the court had to issue a temporary restraining order that effectively said her doctor can and other health professionals can perform this abortion without risking, I believe in Texas, it is $100,000 and up to 99 years in prison. You know, very balanced approach to such a sensitive topic, what we can always count on from Texas. And I think what is instructive about the case, and I'll read you a little bit of the language and some of the facts here, is that what I've said all along, and when we've talked about this topic on the air, is that you can't actually legislate this. Because the terminology and what you try to legislate inevitably leads to absurd and risky results. And when you see this in law, it points you to the fact that this is not an appropriate area for legislation. And in nearly every instance, when we look at data and medical facts, the science and peer-reviewed journals, whenever there has been an attempt to circumscribe a woman's right to select healthcare in consultation with her doctor and her family, you end up hurting women. You end up lowering and injuring the overall health of the community. And so let's turn to this case. According to the New York Times, they believe that this is one of the first cases where a person went into court to seek a court-approved abortion, which I just want to pause there. Dear gentlemen, would you like to go into court and explain every time that you'd like to use Viagra?
Your Honor, look at her.
Right? Especially if you're not married, not gainfully employed, retired, your partner isn't of childbearing age, because then that is, according to the far right Christians, that is a sin, because you can only have sex so that you may procreate. But let's look at some of this, the details here. At a high level, the court basically ruled that the procedure was necessary and fit within the exceptions under Texas's abortion ban. There are medical exceptions when the woman's life is at risk, except the law is insufficiently detailed as to what constitutes that. So most doctors, nearly all doctors in Texas, simply refuse to perform them. Now, just as a point of reference, despite the fact that now two Wisconsin courts have ruled that the 1859, quote, abortion ban actually doesn't ban abortion at all, which I explained in detail about a month and a half ago. If you're interested, you can go find that at civicmedia.us. Those who believe it is an abortion ban, just as a point of fact, there are no exceptions if it is an abortion ban in Wisconsin. So you couldn't even get this in Wisconsin if it was an abortion ban. Thank goodness two judges actually read the actual language in our statute and have correctly concluded that it is not. Here's what the judge had to say. The idea that, and by the way, the woman's married, she has two kids, she wants to have another child. Here's what the court said. The idea that Ms. Cox wants desperately to be pregnant and this law might actually cause her to lose that ability is shocking and would be a gross and genuine miscarriage of justice. So I will be signing the order and it will be processed and sent out today. Not only is this a potentially life-threatening birth, it's so life-threatening that if she was unable to receive the healthcare of her choosing, there was a significant risk that she would become infertile. That's what the judge is referring to there. Ms. Cox's fetus was found to have trisomy 18, a genetic condition that in all but very rare cases leads to miscarriage or stillbirth or to the infant's death within the first year. She had visited the emergency room four times because of pain and discharge, including once after her lawsuit was filed this past Tuesday. But doctors told her that under Texas law, she was being forced to continue her pregnancy. Ms. Cox, who's 31 years old, could be seen wiping away tears from her eyes as she watched the judge issue the decision in a video proceeding with her husband, Justin. She said in an interview on Tuesday that she and her husband, who live in the Dallas area and have two young children, hoped for a big family and never planned on having an abortion. The Texas Attorney General's office, let's guess what their perspective was here. Yes, they argued that Ms. Cox did not qualify for a medical exemption to the state's abortion ban. Because, you know, most attorneys general that I know are also licensed OBGYNs. No. Nor was this lawyer. And just keep in mind that there's a separate lawsuit that's ongoing in the state of Texas brought by the Center for Reproductive Rights, effectively trying to force the state of Texas to clarify their law because doctors have no idea what it means. And when you could go to prison for 99 years, it would tend to have a dampening impact on the care that doctors are willing to provide their patients. Jonathan Stone, the lawyer for the Texas Attorney General's office, argued that Ms. Cox's pregnancy did not meet the, quote, elements of the medical exception to Texas abortion laws. And to do that, he just cited a different doctor's opinion. Because Ms. Cox's doctor thinks that she might die or lose her ability to have children in the future. But, you know, the AG will just go get a different doctor that says something else. This is precisely the problem, people. If you were had your all up in arms about death panels back when we were trying to talk about getting Americans health care, this should bother you too. Ms. Cox's lawyer said that while the law allows narrow medical exceptions, the problem is that no one knows what it means and the state won't tell us. Uh-huh. Yes, that would precisely be the problem. In her order, the judge found that Ms. Cox's doctor believes in good faith, exercising her medical judgment, that an abortion is medically recommended and that the medical exception under Texas law permits an abortion in Ms. Cox's circumstances. Amy O'Donnell, the communications director for Texas Alliance for Life, said that the group does not support the life of taking the life of an unborn child because of a life-limiting or fatal diagnosis. Apparently, Amy thinks that the mom should just die or become infertile. You know, just not get to choose her own medical care in consultation with the physician of her choice, who is board certified and an OBGYN. Dear Miss O'Donnell, are you an OBGYN? Are you Miss Cox's faith leader? Because I think personal liberty and religious freedom are really important things that we all get to enjoy as Americans. Anyways, just fascinating. It's a case that makes the point that I've made all along. This is not an appropriate area for state regulation, because you simply cannot craft a law that's specific enough to conceive of all the facts and circumstances and all the medical complications that can occur, and therefore women will die. It was also small. I think a couple of three, four people were on a stage somewhere in Alabama yesterday, apparently having some kind of debate. I think that was that a thing yesterday. Yeah, I think there was another Republican debate. Boy, this was rich. The only one up there that was talking about Trump with any vim and vigor was Chris Christie, and he's never getting the nomination. Vivek Ramaswamy completed his fanboy circuit of Donald Trump and everything that he represents. One thing I agree with Nikki Haley about is every time I hear Vivek talk, I feel like I'm getting stupider. It's so sad to me that every time you watch these Republican debates, they spend more time quibbling amongst themselves than talking about any of the big things, you know, like healthcare, whether or not we should actually be, you know, funding Ukraine so that Russia doesn't continue to trample on into Western Europe. You know, those kinds of things. Talking about how do we preserve democracy. Oh, yeah, the guy that's leading the polls said he was going to be a dictator on day one. You guys want to talk about that at all? I mean, none of you are within spitting distance. This was rich. Chris Christie accurately described Ramaswamy as the most obnoxious blowhard in America and shouted at him, "Shut up." Well, I'm glad they're keeping it adult there at the Republican debates. There's a couple of other little tidbits that I'll share with you when we come back. Unbelievable, everybody. And let's be honest. None of those folks are moderates. Nikki Haley ain't a moderate. She's just Donald Trump in 5-inch heels. We'll be back in a moment with more on The Maggie Dawn Show. Everything I got, I got looking for me. So eat that, eat that. I'm the one to beat, yeah. The way you see me swinging. Everything I'm on an edge. Did it independent, cause I got what I need. So eat that, beat that. I'm the one to beat, yeah.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We'll be singing, yeah, I get knocked down, but I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down.
Ladies, I hope you're all singing along with that lyric, right? We'll eventually reclaim our healthcare rights. Just got to show up and vote so that the so-called moderates of the GOP, I mean, they're not moderate. All four of them basically subscribe to the notion that government is bad. All of them. It's interesting. It's the government is bad, except when we're keeping Americans from selecting their own healthcare. Except when government is imposing its chosen religious beliefs on other people or on people that don't share those beliefs. You know, I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy held up a sign that said Nikki Haley equals corrupt during the debate. Like, and he like scratched out with his Sharpie. I mean, what? It was like watching middle schoolers fight. So debased. I mean, how pathetically timid are they? You know, like your actual competition for the nomination is Donald Trump, and yet you don't talk about them. He's kind of an it. This is how Frank Bruni put it in the New York Times, which I thought was really appropriate. And he's talking about the debaters yesterday. Their approach occupies the region of the Venn diagram where moral surrender and magical thinking overlap. Yes, indeed. Means they're talking about nonsense. And while they're talking about nonsense, they've surrendered any morality or moral core because they're not taking up and dealing with the threat that Donald Trump poses. Christie did try to call them on it, but it was really sort of inept. He said that his three combatants were acting as if the race is between the four of us. They're afraid to offend. Yeah, he's right. That's exactly what's happening out there. And here was this rich one from Nikki Haley. We have to stop the chaos, but you can't defeat Democrat chaos with Republican chaos. And that's what Donald Trump gives us. My approach is different. No drama, no vendettas, no whining. That's as strong as Nikki Haley got in criticizing Trump. And it took until about like three quarters of the way through the debate. Democrat chaos. I'm sorry. We've been able to elect a House Speaker without a problem when we've been in the majority. What are you talking about? And she's not different. There's nothing about Nikki Haley that's substantially different. She has better delivery because she has mastery of the English language and actually can speak in complete sentences. So, yeah. But let's revisit what Nikki Haley recently had to say on Fox News. If you've got that clip, Anya, I'd love to hear the Nikki Haley. And again, this woman was the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Let's give Ms. Haley a listen.
That is how corrupt that organization is. So my final lead-up question is this. Should America once and for all cut ties with all of these globalist organizations? And if you ever became president, would you do that?
If I become president, I'll, we